All right. Good morning. It's still morning. We have a few more minutes. But if you would, please stand with me in reverence as we read God's word this morning. Our reading comes from today in Matthew 25, where our final week in the Riches of the Text series. And so we're going to read from God's word, Matthew 25. It starts off as this. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. Who is he talking to? Anyway, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is words, God's word. Please take a seat. Please take a seat. So, before we press into the word and what we have today, I always like to start with a question. And so my question for you is this, and it is a participation question. What was the last experience you wish you had more of? What was the last experience you wish you had more of? Go ahead.
Time with my mom.
Yeah, time with your mom. There you go. Yes?
Time with my extended family.
Time with extended family, that's great. Maybe an experience, birthday party, anything else?
Annie's wedding.
Ah, a wedding, see? All right, there we go, a wedding. Good, these are all beautiful things that God has given to us to experience. So for me, some of you do know that I am a bonsai artist. If you don't know what that is the Japanese art of shaping and growing miniature trees. And so there was this festival at Longwood Gardens for bonsai last month. And so Selena and I went. There were workshops, there were trees you could buy, there were rare trees that you could see by artists who are well-known in our community. And I was like that little kid just smiling, hey, mommy, can we go over there? I would love to go there, right? And I left that day wanting more. I just wanted more of those experiences. And as we wrestle with this text today, we see that this idea that there is an abundance, that there is more that God wants us to experience. And so my guiding question for us today is, what more does God have for your life? What more does God have for your life? Before we dive into the word, let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I am so thankful. We are so thankful that we get to be here to worship you, to listen to your word. We pray that you would give us all eyes to see and ears to hear all that you have for us this morning and even throughout today. May we not only hear, but obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the backdrop of this verse is Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's getting ready to go to the cross. This is his last few days left in his current form. He is preparing his disciples for a reality without him. And if you're like me, and he knew this, if he's out of sight, he's probably out of mind. And they're just going to go to their former lives. And they actually did. They partially went back to their former lives. So, he wants to prepare his followers for a life without him in his current state and form. He isn't preparing them to live out the kingdom life. And this particular parable is set in that mindset that Christ is leaving, but he will return. Right? If you see in you don't see this in your text, but in the chapter 24 at the end, it talks about how Christ is leaving and you don't know the hour in which he will return. And therein lies our conviction. We don't know when Christ will return. So live the kingdom life now that Jesus himself has ushered in. And all of us respond to that reality differently, just as God has made us differently. But in this parable, there are two immediately clear responses that Christ is trying to tell his disciples. The first one is personified through the 5-talent and the 2-talent servant. It's that you are entrusted with God's incredibly valuable possessions, so faithfully steward them. And the second response is through the wicked servant. I'm afraid, and I do nothing with it. Those are the two responses we see immediately. And as Pastor Dan mentioned last week, the fear that is mentioned in this passage is not necessarily the awe-inspiring one. It is more about the fear, I'm in danger kind of fear. But what is the source of that fear? What is the source of that fear? We see one plain one as the wicked servant called his master harsh or a hard man. And he said, you reap where you do not sow. You gather where you planted no seed. He's essentially calling God a harsh, possibly evil man who gains all the benefits having done none the work. We know that this is a distorted, corrupted view of our master, because in reality, all of what God has created and all that we produce is really his to begin with. And so we know that this is a corrupted view driven by fear. We can say that, of course, it is sin. We can easily call it that's our sinful nature. But there are more personal reasons for this fear that I want us to wrestle with today, that they're more personal. And one of those fears is one that Pastor Jesse briefly mentioned a couple weeks ago, comparison. But I actually want to call out it by another word, envy. Envy. Where do we see that in the passage? So, naturally, when we read this parable, just as Jesus' audience would have heard it, they immediately think, am I going to be the five talent servant? Am I the two talent? Am I the one talent? Am I the no talent one? Am I not even mentioned this story? And naturally, when you go along this line thinking those thoughts, what if we think, oh, what if I'm the one talent servant? And I see I'm surrounded by 2 and 5 and 10 and 30 talent servants. And if you're still unsure if that's envy or if you have envy swirling in your heart or mind, ask yourself these questions. Have you ever wondered why God didn't make me like that person, like Elon Musk or bad apple, but why can't I more lyric with musical talent? How come God didn't give me this career, Bob's career? How come my family is not like that family? How come my marriage can't be more like that marriage? Why didn't God give me that person's powerful story of coming to Christ? If we're honest with ourselves, we may have not asked these questions, but we have gone down these rabbit holes of overthinking. And I'm not just saying you, I have as well. And if I'm not constantly checking my heart and thoughts, if I'm not listening to the Spirit constantly, it would be easy for me to become envious. I'm surrounded by much more experienced, for example, for myself, I'm surrounded by much more experienced ministers. I could easily say, oh, look at Pastor Jesse. I will never be like that polished preacher. Or look at Pastor Dan. I cannot convict like this man can. Instead of looking at others such as these to learn from, to grow from, it can be so easy to look at others as with envy. And we can question God and ask ourselves, why didn't God give me that talent? Why didn't God give me that life? Why didn't God give me those children or career or characteristics or life situations? And I'll tell you this, envy is an accusation against God's goodness. I'm going to say it one more time. Envy is an accusation against God's goodness. We are accusing that God is not good. How? Because if we believe God is good, if we believe God is good, then he and his word must be true. That when he sent his one and only son to die on the cross for our sin, for our sinful nature, he decided our worth and value. He settled our worth and our value on the cross. And if we remain in this state of envy, we are accusing that God, that this act of love at the cross is not good enough for me. How? Because when we envy others, it means we look at our situation with contempt, with disdain, saying to ourselves, God, you made me to be this way, and I don't like it. It's garbage. It's filthy rags. I am not worth dying for. We are saying, I am not worth Jesus dying for on the cross. That is what envy is communicating to God. You see, envy causes us to have this distorted and corrupted outlook on God and ourselves. If we believe in his goodness, then we must believe in his word. when he tells us that each and every single one of us was beautifully and wonderfully made, as we are encouraged in Psalm 139, or that each of one of us was crafted intentionally with many purposes, as he tells us in Ephesians 2:10, which says this, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Each one of us was crafted with that intention, with purpose, with beauty. There is no accidents. I stand before you in a room of incredibly talented, beautiful, high character people. I sit before Linda, who is just this model of servanthood. We have Dan with this incredible wit. We have, sorry. That just came to my mind. But we have Mel, who's incredibly musically talented in many genres. We have Ayo with her voice of wisdom. We have Irma's love for her family. Every time we talk, it's about her grandson and her family. Every time I talk to Ruben or Crystal, there's always this passion for life and sports and just people, right? We have Shope and Tomiwa, who just are making it work. They want to go somewhere in life. This is a drive and passion. And all of these characteristics, all of these life situations that we have been given are all part of God's unique craftiness for our lives. But if we continue to live in envy of others, we may never live in the abundance and the potential that God has gifted to each and every single one of us. And this idea of abundance and potential is the last part I really want us to talk about this morning, this afternoon. There's this idea of abundance, or there is more, in this passage. We see after the 5 and 2 talent servants returned their investment, got their master's investment to him. And he said, "You have been faithful over little, now I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Or in verse 29, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance." We see in this passage that the good servants received more for their faithfulness, not as a reward for making more money for the master, but for their faithfulness. We see that the master rewarded his servants with encouragement, with more weighty responsibilities, and more importantly, the joy or the abundance of riches that is the master's. He is essentially saying, "I am sharing my riches with you." That is the abundance that we can look forward to when we are faithful in stewarding what God has given to us. We get to enter into the joy of our master. And if you remember my opening question, it was about this idea of experiencing more. Think along those lines. God wants to share more of his joy with you. But it only comes when we are being faithful in whatever purposes God has put in our lives. It's not that he is withholding. It is not that he is a rewards-based God. Otherwise, that would negate the gift of eternal life, the free gift. But when we are pursuing God's given purposes in our lives, and when we are faithful with all that God has given us to steward, along that process, along that journey, we will get to see and share in the abundance of the Master. But the question is, how do we know we are being faithful in stewarding what God has given to us? How do we know? There are markers of faith that we could talk about today, but the one sure way we know that we are being faithful is if we have given God our availability. If we are giving God our availability. Nowhere in this passage does it hint that the servants were given their talents based on their own merit. Yes, we see that the passage says that they were given based on their ability, but let's think about that. Who gave these servants their abilities? It's the Master. It's God. He created them. So this is not a merit-based scenario. It is about availability, saying yes to following God no matter what he's calling us to do or be. God is asking for your availability, not your ability. God is asking for your availability, not your ability. I'll say this for myself. About 12 years ago, I started to see breadcrumbs of my calling into pastoral ministry. At first, it was just a little spark. It was an excitement after I had said yes to Jesus and continued on in that little spark. I started saying yes to serving a little more. I started to end up leading. I've gone in places where I didn't think I would ever go, like leading worship. Have you ever seen me done that in the past 3 years? No, because that's not my wheelhouse. But God was using that time to spark something deeper. And as I went along, as I kept saying yes to God, I started to hear these questions. Hey, Jason, have you ever considered going into pastoral ministry? Hey, Jason, have you ever considered becoming some type of preacher? And every single time I was asked or even hinted at that thought of questioning, I shut it down. I said, no way. There was not even a remote possibility in my mind that I could even go down that road. Even when Selena and I, before we started dating over 10 years ago, asked me that same question, when our first meeting together, and she asked me that, and I said, no way. There's no way I'm gonna become a pastor. And she was relieved. She was relieved, because she didn't want that for herself and her life. But I gave all of the excuses to God. I gave all the Moses excuses, not this Moses, but the biblical Moses. I said to him, no, God, I can't speak well, send someone else. No, God, I do not have the time in my busy schedule to be sent to be in pastoral ministry. Please send someone else. I said, no, God, I do not want to be broke. Please send anyone else. Please send anyone else. While I was still single, I said to God, there's no one who wants to date a broke pastor who lives with his parents. That's not a bad thing, but still, it was not a good life situation. Please send someone else. Anyone else. Don't tell that to Selena. No, she knows. She knows. You see, I was giving every excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse until finally God gave me the gift of desire for ministry. And by that point, I had been serving for many years in my church and in our community. And I was ready, finally ready to say yes, to give my availability to God. And instead of coming before him with hands closed, stuck in envy, stuck in my lack of self-worth, stuck in my fear, I released and opened my hand to God. And if I kept saying no, I probably wouldn't be standing before you today. I probably might not have met any of you or had the privilege to pastor you if I just kept saying no in my comfortable, busy life. God was showing me that there is more to my purpose, more to be faithful in, more of life to the fullest. And all he asked of me was my availability, not my ability. My friends, there is more. Instead of thinking that God will send someone else to do that task or to lead this area or even to help in this area, be the one that God is sending. Because you are already created for many purposes, and you don't even know if by you saying yes that this is opening the door to the next and more that God has for you. There is more. He is eagerly waiting for you to be faithful and continue to keep giving your yes. Remember that God has entrusted you with his most precious gift of all, the free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. And that life through Jesus is not as an audience member, as if we were going to the movie theaters to watch The Odyssey in IMAX. There is more. God has called you into the active kingdom life where there is always, always, always more. There is always more. And if we allow envy or comparison or lack of self-worth or our busy, comfortable life, which corrupts our view of God and who he has made us to be, we may never get to witness the abundance or the potential that God is waiting for you to experience. There is more. I'll invite the worship team back up, but we're not done yet. After this last word I give to you, I want us to wrestle with that. That there is more. Hear me. When I tell you this, I am not saying that everyone is called to become a pastor or to be a missionary or a chaplain or even a professional minister. I'm not even saying that any of the things that we consume and fill our lives with are bad things, right? Family, I've talked about. I've said abilities, schedules, fun activities. All of these are part of the full life. All these are part of life to the fullest in Jesus. But what I am saying is there is more in store for your life, for our lives, than we already think there is. There is more. And if you are already stepping up and serving and leading, great. Press in. Press in and continue to experience more of what God has for your life. because until we meet our Maker, there is more. And if you are on the sidelines, sitting there, holding back from God maybe, or holding back from His church, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? This passage, Christ is calling us to faithfully steward what God has entrusted to us so that we can experience the abundance of God's great, immeasurable joy. Jesus is challenging us with that question I asked in the beginning. What more does God have for your life? I'm going to allow the worship team to just play and listen, but I'm going to encourage you and challenge you to listen to that question. What more does God have for your life? I'm going to pray for us now, but I'm going to leave a couple minutes for us to just listen to the Spirit. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us more and inviting us into more. Holy Spirit, speak to us now.